Renogen has inked its first helium sales deal with a global automotive company that is yet to be named. Last month, the emerging helium and domestic natural gas producer discovered better than expected helium deposits at its Virginia gas project and says that this landmark transaction will increase volume substantially for phase two of the project. Company CEO Stefano Marani joins us now to discuss the deal and what it means for the company's growth moving forward. Thanks so much, Stefano, for your time this evening. So, like I say, Renogen has announced its first helium sales agreement with a global automotive supplier. Why so mum on the details? The automotive supplier not being named and neither the price tag or the value of this deal.
So helium is a very scarce commodity and it's quite a complex market. So typically speaking, when most of these contracts are negotiated, there are a lot of confidentiality agreements surrounding the details. With respect to the identity, the identity will be revealed probably in the next 24 to 48 hours, but we just need to get some clearance on that. Unfortunately, more than that, we're not going to be able to give the market due to the nature of the contracts.
Okay, so we wait for the name at least to come to the fore, but talk us through broad strokes the market you're catering to here, Stefano, and where that demand for helium sits, because the product is also critically important for the medical industry, for fiber optic cables, the cooling of nuclear plants, and this now a new revenue source for you to extract from.
So for us, we were always just seeing helium as a commodity to sell, and the primary target was to the wholesalers. So in other words, the big gas companies buying helium from us, and then they were managing the on sale to the end user. Where this is a landmark transaction for us is that this is the first time that we're actually selling the product to the end user. Now that's a particularly rare contract. You don't get many of those. So for us as such an early stage development helium company, it's quite a landmark transaction for us. And for the customer, it's the first time that they've actually gone direct to the refinery. So it's a big deal for both companies.
Is that quite a complex situation to navigate around, or does it simplify things exponentially?
It simplifies in certain respects, like from a contractual perspective. It complicates in other respects, that the transporting of helium is inordinately difficult. Mm-hmm. It's not like other commodities that you just pack them onto a ship and off you go. Helium is at -269 degrees Celsius when you move it. So it's like almost 100 degrees colder than liquid nitrogen, just to put it in context.
And where are your confidence levels sitting in terms of capacity, to deliver down this more direct route?
Well, I have to tell you, after the recent drilling results, things are looking pretty good. In terms of the actual movement of the product, between ourselves and the customer, we've got the better part of, let's call it 18 months to 2 years to figure out the logistics on how we move the liquid helium from Virginia all the way through to their premises.
Yeah, something that has been highlighted is that you sit on the richest helium concentrations. This sees you ramp up phase two of the Virginia operations as well. But how do you see supply-demand metrics that are currently in play influencing the pricing of helium, Stefano?
So for us, being at the refinery level, all helium offtake agreements tend to be 10-year in nature and take or pay at fixed prices. And that doesn't change. What does change is the timing at when you sign those contracts, because depending on whether the market is in short supply or oversupply, that'll determine the nature of your 10-year contract. As it stands right now, the helium market is in short supply, and that's because of a number of fields that were producing helium having come offline. I'd say that once Russia and Qatar come online, you'll start to see supply normalize, maybe to slight oversupply. That won't last very long. I'd see that towards the back end of this decade, we're going to go back into very short supplies, because as the U.S. starts to cut down on its natural gas production, as we've seen Biden's camp already do, helium is a byproduct of natural gas. The more you close the taps on the natural gas, the less helium you produce, and that's going to put the helium market into short squeeze.
Okay, so how do you see the competitive landscape shifting, if at all?
Look, there is a lot happening in the helium space. It's a very small market, and there are very few suppliers. Point in case, South Africa, with our project, will become only the eighth country in the world to supply helium. I see the dominance of helium starting to come from the East as opposed to the West. Right now, 50 to 70% comes from the United States. I can see that towards the back end of this decade, you will see Russia, Qatar, and mainly Russia and Qatar being the big suppliers, with America dropping down to probably less than 40 to 30%.
Okay, so as you sit on this resource potential, then how much more investment and CapEx spend are we looking at going down this avenue, and what scope for growth are you leveraging off?
So right now we're in the middle of the feasibility studies. So I can't give definitive numbers yet. I'd announced about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks, that we're in the process of these feasibility studies. So in due course, the results from these feasibility studies will come out, and we'll have a definitive plan on the CapEx cycle for phase two. But you know, just to remind you, phase one is on track for fourth quarter of this year, and will be revenue generative from the first phase of the plant, which is more of a pilot project. And investors will then get a little bit more clarity and foresight as to how the helium and LNG markets behave in this country.
Well, until then, let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Stefano, for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, was Stefano Marani, who's CEO of Renergen.